Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Time to be.
The Blog Talk Radio Studios in Union City, New Jersey. This is Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. And again, folks, I want to thank you all for tuning in this, the 24th of April, the year 2017. Now, we'll hear from you tonight, folks. Again, do me a favor, call in toll-free, 646-649-1926. Once again, the toll-free number tonight to call in, 646-649-1926. And this week's edition of Dating Today is brought to you by the Mason Civic League. Now, folks, if you're not aware, the Mason Civic League is an outstanding local nonprofit dedicated to working within our community here in New Jersey. And, again, you can check them out by going to their website, www.masoncivic.org. They're located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. That's right, folks, the birthplace of baseball and Sinatra. You can call Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. by calling 201-706-8088. Now, for those of you who are not aware, again, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman, the distinguished Elizabeth Mason, and her husband, Ricky Mason. Now, the Mason Civic League has assisted community members and groups in need by sponsoring programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and of course, activities for residents of all ages. Make sure you like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to acknowledge on the program tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Cromcakes.com, a wonderful local media site, well, entertaining blogs, and of course, it does a phenomenal job of connecting media with humanity, and of course, sprinkling some cromedy along the way, courtesy of my dear friend, Miss Ashley Cromcakes. You can check out her website, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Also, check out, folks, Rough Rehab, a wonderful no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Check out their website, www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. You can call them each and every day at 862-200-1447. And Rough Rehab is indeed open to the public 7 days a week from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. So you know what? All I can say to you folks, they are a great local shelter. If you're interested in adopting a kitten or a dog, do me a favor. Look no further than Rough Rehab because they will work with you to make sure you get the pet that you want. And again, as the spring is coming up here, it's a great time of year to adopt a pet and make a difference in their lives. So, you know, again, check out Rough Rehab, folks. Again, I want to acknowledge them on the program, cromcakes.com. And of course, my sponsor here, the Mason Civic League. Again, folks, toll free number tonight to call in, toll free 646-649-1926. Once again, 646-649-1926. Again, toll-free number brought to you by the Mason Civic League. Go right to the show's inbox, folks. FUJ@gmail.com. Professor FUJ@gmail.com. The show's inbox. Write to me if you want to share your thoughts about anything that I discuss on the program or for an idea for a future podcast. Also, you can follow me on Twitter @TheGloriousFUJ. And also make sure you follow me on Instagram @your_favorite_Fernando. Folks, I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Listen, April's almost finishing up here. We'll be starting May next Monday. And, you know, I'll be talking to you about a great way to end this month later this Friday night at Son Cubano for my annual March of Dimes event. Again, I'll tell you more about it in tonight's broadcast. Again, folks, I want to hear from you. 646-649-1926. 646-649-1926 here this evening. Again, a big shout out to everyone listening tonight. Yeah, listen, I can't say enough about all of my fans, whether it's my students, past and present, friends of mine that love the show, whether it's all the way up in Beantown, all the way down in Raleigh, North Carolina, down in Miami, all the way out to Dallas, Texas, and even as far west as Bakersfield, California. Great fans of Dating Today all around the good old U.S. of A. All right, folks, again, hope you had a great weekend. Again, the weather hopefully is getting a little bit better for us. And for those of you that obviously are in the dating scene, or for some of you that are already in relationships, what I wanted to cover with you tonight is, you know, sort of some red flags that I think are important for us to always keep in mind, you know, keep, you know, be aware of. And I think sometimes, you know, when we're in a relationship, we sometimes miss some red flags. And you know what? Even when we miss them, it's important to identify them as soon as you see them. And of course, the next important thing is to sort of decipher what they mean. And tonight, we're going to get to the bottom of it. So listen, whether you've just started a new relationship or have been dating for a while, it's not uncommon to, you know, overlook your partner's flaws. I mean, let's be honest, you know, more often than not, you're wearing love goggles. And more often than not, these love goggles blind you to the negativity that he or she may be bringing to your life, or how horrible, you know, of a person they may be, just because you're so obsessed with how great your boyfriend or girlfriend seems. And yet, listen, you might think everything that he or she does is adorable, whether it's a smirk on his or her face when he stretches after a nap, or the emoji that he or she uses when commenting on your Instagram pic, or, I don't know, just maybe the way his lips move, you know, or her move when they're talking to you. And listen, while we're supposed to embrace our partner's flaws throughout our relationships, more times than not, we completely dismiss red flags in the early stages because we're so focused on how great things are. And, you know, it sort of got me thinking as I was doing some notes here for tonight's podcast about what these mean. And, you know, as you're listening here this evening, you know, if you don't believe me, you know, what I'd like to do for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is sort of play out some scenarios for you. And, you know, you can decide for yourself if any of these pertain to you and your current relationship. Now, listen, I was just having this conversation with one of my dear friends, I think, as a matter of fact, today, via text. And, you know, the reality is this. I think that, you know, relationships can be very hard. There are a lot of work. It takes a lot to make them fluid, to make them flow, I think, with that the right person. And I'll be the first one to say that, listen, I know for a fact I am not easy to date. I know that. I think I've come to grips with that reality for many years now. And I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Number one, I know that I'm very opinionated. I'm a very strong personality. I'm very assertive when it comes to, I think, taking charge in a relationship and, you know, putting my best foot forward in the sense of being proactive and taking the initiative. And I, you know, I get that. And I always heard that consistently. I know that that could maybe come across as a little bossy, a little domineering. You know, I do acknowledge I'm an alpha male. I have some qualities that are symptomatic of being an alpha male, but I'm also a little flexible. But again, you know, I understand that dating me is difficult, whether it's my schedule, whether it's the fact that sometimes my philanthropy isn't necessarily time-consuming when it comes to the work that it requires. Because more often than not, the work that I put into my philanthropy is like later in the evenings when it doesn't affect anybody, you know, when I'm up late at night to some extent, you know, designing a flyer, creating an event page, plugging a sponsor, things of that nature. It's not work per se that I think takes away from someone. Of course, you know, the actual event itself can be very overwhelming, and I get that. You know, it's not easy to stand by me and, you know, watch me host an event that gets a lot of good looking people involved and it gets a very good turnout of a crowd. And, you know, I get that. You know, I also have very point in beliefs, for example. I'm very opinionated. I'm not hesitant at all to express an opinion or how I feel at any time. I think, as a matter of fact, as I've gotten older, my filter has gotten progressively worse. Most people around me would say that I really have no filter anymore. And it's kind of funny because I remember even tonight I was sharing on my group chat with my buddies, I was sharing a monologue that I recorded today during my class. I was giving back an exam, and to be very honest with you, I was very transparent and I was very blunt, and the feedback from all of them was actually quite funny. And I wasn't trying to be funny. I think I was just sort of outraged about how stupid some of my students were in their answers on blatantly easy questions. So I was sort of very frustrated about that, and I think I wasn't hesitant to express my disenchantment with them. Now, I wasn't really tyrannical. I wasn't belittling them, but I mean, I certainly wasn't shy about expressing my dissatisfaction with them. But I think that sort of lends itself to sort of not a bigger problem, but sort of a bigger manifestation of, you know, who I am as a person. I mean, I can be very, I can be very blunt. I can be very, as I said, very, not argumentative, I think, per se, but I think I'm very vocal. And more times than not, it's hard not to get an opinion out of me. It's hard to not, ask me how I'm feeling, because I'm not going to sort of, hold back on that. That's just something I don't do. And I understand that as I've dated over the years, I know that's always been a problem, I think, to some extent, because I can be a little opinionated. Not critical of my partner, but just being opinionated. If I have something to say, not about her, but if there's something that's bothering me about something around me, whether it's something about politics, whether it's about sports, whether it's about people in the general vicinity, stuff like that, I think I can come across as maybe a bit argumentative and I think a little overly vocal, not belligerent and not, I think, derogatory towards others, but I think just very overly vocal. So I get that, I know I'm not easy to date. I have my flaws. I certainly can be someone who's very insecure. Despite the very confident persona, don't let that fool you. I think that when you get to know me, I'm a guy that certainly has his insecurities, his reservations about himself. And again, as I said, despite this very confident and even sometimes arrogant or cocky persona, listen, don't kid yourself. I'm about as, someone who is as self-conscious as anybody else. So, not that that translates into being sort of jealous, because I think some guys can do that. And especially in Latin cultures, guys can be overly jealous and possessive. I'm not really that way. I don't think I've ever really demonstrated that aspect of a personality as a guy. But I know that I can voice my opinion when something doesn't sit right with me. And I think that oftentimes, that doesn't always go over well with a woman. I think sometimes, I can be combative. I can be, stubborn to some extent, And excuse me, there's just a nice glass of Cabernet this evening here. Wow, it's great. Tonight, what I really wanted to share with you here on the show, and again, folks, call in tonight. I want to hear from you. 646-649-1926. Once again, 646-649-1926. Toll-free number tonight brought to you by the Mason Civic. Again, check them out, www.masoncivic.org. So tonight's red flag that I wanted to sort of bring to your attention are things that maybe sometimes we tend to overlook. But when we see them, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's important to sort of take a moment, breathe, and really assess exactly where it's going in a relationship. And, one of the things that – now, some of these red flags, as I was just jotting some things down, can be – a little bit of a worry, or maybe not a worry at all, that I've noticed, I think, from talking to friends of mine, and I know that they've told me that they've done this in their relationship, and I would argue it's not healthy. When your ex goes on and on about his or her ex and how that person left them heartbroken. Now, you might think it's cute that this person's in touch with their sensitive side, and, you might feel thankful that they're expressing themselves, but watch out, because if this person is still going on about their ex, chances are they probably aren't over him or her. And it's very possible that maybe you're their rebound or their filler, until, you know, your significant other is over their ex. And that's always tricky because more times than not, when we're dating, and listen, this is sort of the thing that more times than not becomes tricky when it comes to jumping into a new relationship or anything like that. I know what, you know, in my lifetime, what I've tried to do, I think when I've broken up in a relationship and I've had some time to myself and maybe I date, I try to hopefully be as transparent as possible. It doesn't always work. I get it, you know. More times than not, I think as a guy, you try not to do that. You try to just, you know, go in a sense of, you know, approaching dating as, not necessarily as a recreational activity, but you want to go out and distract yourself. I remember back in, again, looking back to like 2013, right around the holidays, right, that time afterwards, I think once the new year started in 2014, yeah, I made a point to sort of, you know, date, you know, to be a serial dater. And I did that. I remember I was going on dates, I think, probably multiple times a week, you know, based on like dating apps and stuff like that, because I wanted a distraction. And it was healthy for me. It was healthy to go out and meet new people and go out with different women, you know, different age groups, different backgrounds, because it was a healthy for me. And I know that when I was first time with some women, one of the things I never brought up in conversations, I think, was how I was feeling about my ex. And quite frankly, I know that there was still some, you know, friends of mine had brought to my attention about, you know, you've made progress, Fernando, and, you know, certainly we're happy that you're healthier and that you're out and about dating and meeting women and just, you know, letting, you know, you get back into the game, so to speak, and be comfortable being out there talking to women. And I did, I didn't really struggle. Once I decided to sort of, you know, pull my pants up, as they say, and go out there. And I remember, you know, early on in 2014, I think one of the best things I ever did, and I think this is where, and we had a really good friendship up until that point, but I know that this sort of helped us turn the corner even more in terms of our, you know, the warmth that we had, and really I think the unity that we had as buddies. And I remember what my good buddy Aaron, who's getting married later on this year, and you know, props to Shelby obviously for you know, locking him up, you know, to make that a union later on this year. So I'm happy to be in that bridal party. But I remember early on in 2014, you know, going out with him was therapeutic. He too was going through a breakup, not one as tumultuous as mine. Actually, you know, let me rephrase that. I don't want to sound insensitive because I know that it was something that really bothered him as well. So, but I think he did a better job of sort of, you know, dismissing his feelings and sort of being a little tougher, mentally tougher. I think I struggled with that early on. But I remember going out and, you know, at the bars with him and then, you know, going on dates. I just remember, you know, one of the biggest things for me was to, you know, make sure that I zoned my ex-girlfriend out of the picture in terms of my thought process. And that was important because as I started seeing some women, you know, sort of simultaneously, you know, and they sort of ask me, you know, how, so what have you been like? You know, what was your last relationship? Because that comes up, obviously, eventually in a conversation. And I made it a point to sort of be very brief and not really go into, you know, the logistics of it. And, you know, listen, it's been some years now, and I certainly don't want to bash her per se, but I am going to be honest about this assessment with her. One of the biggest challenges, I think, as we met our demise was, I think, her mental health. I think the fact that she was going through sort of a borderline depression, if not full-blown depression, because of work, because of money, still being heavily dependent on her parents for money and financial, you know, sustenance. And it was one of those things where, you know, I didn't go out of my way to do that. I had learned, I think, from previous years to never be that generous again with a woman when it came to money. Like that, I wasn't going to go out of my way to help pay her bills or anything like that. I wasn't, you know. I think that, you know, she valued her independence and she was a very strong, independent woman. Well, I was going to let her, you know, work her way through that, you know. And if her parents were going to be sending her money weekly, then that's fine. You know, I never look down on her because of it. I said, fine, you know, if you're lucky enough to have parents that do that to you still, that's wonderful. Not every girl has that. Because more often than not, I remember during the summer, right before we broke up, I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, there were episodes where she would just come home and cry nonstop. And, you know, I was over and I didn't know what to do. And I think it was becoming to a point where I think she legitimately was bipolar and she was, you know, just, I think, in need of going to see someone. After a lot of, you know, bitching and moaning on my part, I actually convinced her to go see someone. I think that she needed to see professional help. I think that she was experiencing full-blown depression, you know, and that was one of the things that ultimately led to our demise. I think that dealing with that and the stress about money and her living situation and everything else, I think that played a big role. I think that played a big role in dividing us. I think it played a big role in having me check out of the relationship a lot sooner than I would have liked. You know, but in the months after that, when it came to talking about my relationships with the new woman I was seeing, I made sure to be very, very, very brief. You know, I didn't want to go on and on because, number one, I didn't want to give off that vibe that I was still sort of thinking about her or that she was still in the picture. That's not the case. Now, again, you know, when you're dating someone and it's been maybe a few months after your last relationship, you know, the risk that you run is that the new person you're dating could, quite frankly, be a rebound. And you don't mean it to be that way. You don't want to be it that way. You don't want to sound mean. But more often than not, that's what ends up happening sometimes. You know, you end up dating someone maybe a little bit after a relationship ends, maybe under the worst of circumstances. And you know what the reality is? The reality is that it ends up becoming a rebound. You know, so you have to be a little bit careful, as I said. But when he or she goes on and on about their ex, you know, and how they're still somewhat heartbroken, that's a big red flag, folks, and I think you should definitely be aware of that. You know, another red flag I think that's very important, and one that I've always said to my friends that this is something that you should really, really, you know, make you concerned right away. And a big red flag is when he or she spends every second of every day with you. Now, listen, I get it. You get excited because he or she actually wants to spend a lot of time with you. But if he or she's spending all of their time with you, doesn't that indicate that you're all that he or she has and that he or she is going to possibly become extremely needy? And more often than not, what ends up happening is that he or she's going to get disappointed when you can't get together and will probably raise a stink about it, either pick a fight or stuff like that. And that's something that I've always had an issue with, I think, through all of my relationships, I think, in dating different types of women. You know, spending time early on is important. I think you want to spend time with that person you like and you enjoy, you know, doing different things, whether it's staying in to watch a movie, whether it's going out to watch a movie in a theater, whether it's going out to dinner, trying out new restaurants, maybe going to a jazz club, maybe going to a Dave and Buster's or an I Play America or some sort of amusement type of, you know, area, you know, let's say you go bowling. And it's great. You know, you do want to spend time with that significant other. And it's great. It makes you excited. It makes you, gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling inside that you enjoy his or her company. But by the same token, I think it's important to sort of have time for yourself, whether it's to, you know, do things you want to do or to just simply hang out with your friends. And, you know, one of the things probably that maybe has come under scrutiny for me in recent years, I think what's come to women is how much time I'll spend with friends or where I go to spend time with friends or how long I'll stay out or whatever. And I get that, you know, I can understand how that can raise a concern or anything, but I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy to be able to go out and just hang out with your friends, go watch a playoff game, catch up and, you know, BS over the playoff game. You know, it's springtime. So whether it's the hockey playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, or whether you're watching the NBA playoffs or maybe in baseball season is well underway. Maybe you just want to go out and watch a game. Maybe you just want to go out and enjoy that that atmosphere, you know. It's one of those things that, you know, ends up becoming very enjoyable, you know. And to me, like I said, you know, if you can balance that a little bit, I think that's a healthy thing. More times than not, when you're dating someone and all that you want to do is just for every single waking moment with you, I mean, I think that's a red flag. I'm sorry. I don't know, overly progressive. You know, I know whenever I have this conversation with my parents sort of look at me and say, well, you know, you're just because you're an American and you were raised here and that whole culture of wanting to go out with your friends and wanting to do different them and hang out is, well, I don't know. They're not really for that, and they don't understand it. And I get that. I mean, that's, you know, I sort of look at my parents and I look at that mindset of, well, they were just raised in a different era, in a different generation, where, you know, once you dated someone, like, that person just sort of became your pastime and recreation. And again, it's sort of a very different type of thing. You know, it can be sort of, you know, a problem when it becomes sort of like overly invasive or smothering, for example. You know, another red flag I think that's important to sort of keep an eye on is, you know, when he or she gets jealous of other people in your life. And maybe you think it's cute that this person's protective over you. But, you know, it can be a couple of things. Number one, maybe this person doesn't trust you, or they're just intimidated by your friendships and what they mean. And I think it's more times than not, I think you have to sort of take it from a perspective of, you know, where is this person coming from? What are they doing? What are they, you know, why do they feel the way that they feel? I think it's important to get to the root of that. You know, why is it that they are, you know, as skeptical of keep company with in terms of your friends and stuff like that? And, you know, that's always a tricky thing, because when you're having trust issues in a relationship, I think that can always be a problem. I think that can always be something that can be, as I said to you, it could raise a stink. It could, you know, make it very tumultuous and contentious in a relationship. And you don't want that. I think you want to be able to, you know, be someone that can have a relationship, certainly. But at the same time, I think where you want to be able to, you know, have some getaway time with your friends, and maybe go watch a game, maybe go to happy hour or something and catch up with them. I think there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, again, dating is can be very complicated about is the fact about, you know, when you see these red flags, when, you know, when they come to your attention, you know, the biggest thing I think that you have to sort of look at is, you know, how do you handle this? How do you, quite frankly, put it all in perspective and decide to be someone that is going to be proactive about this relationship, you know, and what you're thinking? And sometimes, yeah, and one of the red flags I think also too, that sort of one I mentioned tonight is, you know, I think more times than not, you know, we sort of take the feedback of our circle of friends very seriously. And I think even that, and also of our families, when you are seeing a sort of consistent effort on everyone's part, not necessarily to sort of ostracize or alienate your partner, but if they become not necessarily repetitive, but if they've gone out of the way to sort of express their concerns about who you're dating, you know, I've always looked at that as, hey, that means that they care. You know, I know that, for example, I remember I'll sort of, this goes back to the summer of 2015. I remember I was going to an engagement party for, at the time, one of my better friends. You know, we're no longer friends. But up until that point, I remember that one of our mutual friends had been dating this guy since about, I don't know, maybe the fall of 2014. And folks, when I tell you that this guy was probably one of the biggest assholes you'll ever meet, I mean, you couldn't find a guy that was more, you know, you couldn't find a more disingenuous person anywhere. I mean, this is a guy who went out of his way to just be as insincere and fake as you could ever find. And I'm someone that when I see behavior like that, I have to call it out. And I don't really gel with a guy like that. So I remember leading up until that summer, I remember it was July 2015, I was going to an engagement party in Brooklyn. And up until that point, our mutual friend who I had a falling out with since the spring. And I remember earlier that spring expressing my concerns to her. Like, listen, you're dating this guy who, quite frankly, I think is very bad for you. I'm sorry. It's possible. It's funny. I didn't even send her an email. I didn't even send her a text. I sent her like one of those voice recordings. If you have those voice memos on your iPhone, I sent her an audio recording, which I think was about 3 minutes long for a voicemail. I don't have that much time on it. And I was very calm. I was very cool. I was very collected. And I remember just saying to her, listen, I have some concerns. I'm your friend. I'm one of your best friends. I love you. I want what's best for you. I'm just expressing my concerns. Same way you would express concerns about the women I dated over the years. I'm doing the same for you because, you know what, I care what happens to you. I want your happiness, but I also want you to maybe be aware of something maybe that you're not paying attention to. And I remember that when I sent her that audio recording, she got very flustered. She got very angry, and she stopped talking to me for many, many months. And I thought that was petty on her part, you know. And I remember that as that engagement party for our friend was approaching, she reached out to me and said, hey, listen, by the way, I know that we're going to see each other this weekend. Let's clear the air. So we spoke on the phone, and I remember one of the things that she said to me was like, well, you know, I didn't really appreciate that recording you sent me. And her name is Angela. And I said to her, I was like, Angela, you know, no offense, but throughout the time that I've dated different women, you know, maybe you didn't go as far as doing a complete dissection the way I did, but I never once took offense to you expressing your opinion about, well, you know, I don't know about you dating so-and-so, I don't know. I never took it personally. I said, okay, well, she cares about me. And that was sort of the thing that I said to her. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry you get all sensitive about it. I don't like the guy. I'm never going to like the guy. I think he's a schmuck, you know. But like I said, one of the things that I noticed was I think being that friend that would express their opinion. And of course, you know, we talked it out and everything, and that was fine. And I know when I saw her in July 2015 at the engagement party, I said, okay, you know, great, you know, I'll be cordial with her and chat her up because she's been a very good friend of mine for like many, many years. Now, I try to avoid contact with her boyfriend because he's just such a – God, folks, if you ever met a more disingenuous asshole, it's this guy. Trust me. Oh, my God, this guy, Javi. Lord help us. Jesus. You couldn't find a more insincere bastard than this guy. Believe me. But the point is that as friends – you know, I think we make it a point to sort of, you know, reach out to each other and you know, express what we think about, you know, about who we're dating. I think, and, you know, as friends, I think we owe it to each other to be that transparent. I think we owe it to each other to be, you know, to be forward and sincere. And I think that one of the components I think that I value a lot about my social circle is I think that my friends, very much like I am, because I'm the first one to express an opinion too, so I have to be able to take it as well since I'm going to give it. You know, they've always expressed their concerns, I think, about who I date. Not in a malicious way, but I think that they'll point out concrete examples that are illustrative of what worries them. And by the same token, I'll do the same. And, you know, at the end of the day, when they're doing that or I'm doing that, I mean, I take that as them, you know, being my friends, being concerned for me, watching out for me. I don't think there's any malice behind that. And I think it's sort of the same mindset that I think we have with our families. You know, I have a very good relationship with my parents. I very much enjoy talking to my parents. I don't always like to share things about my personal life with my parents, about our relationships, because I think that as a grown man, I'm hoping that I can make the right decisions. And listen, the great thing about parents is they're going to love you no matter what. They're going to love you no matter what decisions you make. They may not be happy about them, but they're going to love you, and they're going to support you because that's what parents do. And I'm very fortunate that I have that with my own parents because they do go out of their way to be supportive. They'll raise their concerns about who I date, and they're not going to be shy about it. And more times than not, we don't get into arguments about it. More times than not, I think we can have very civilized conversations about my dating history and about the women that I date. And if there are red flags about them, I think that, you know, my parents know that they owe it to me to bring it to my attention. Now, whether or not I choose to listen to them, whether or not I choose to take the advice constructively, that's up in the air. You know, that's not something I can always control. But what I will say is the fact that, you know, more times than not, what we end up doing is being, you know, that person that is going to, you know, either take their advice or not take it. And that's it. And, you know, one of the things that about tonight's episode, you know, talking about red flags is, you know, more times than not, sometimes we don't see the red flags. Sometimes we need the advice of others. We need the assistance of others, whether it's our good friends, whether it's our parents, a sibling, to sort of sit us down and say, Fernando, we're concerned. We're concerned about this person. I think that this person is a bad fit for you. I think that this person, you know, doesn't bring out the best in you. I think that this person doesn't allow you to be who you are as a person. And I think that, you know, that restraint or that sort of control over you isn't healthy. And I've heard those things over the years, I think, from my friends about certain women I've dated. By the same token, I think I'm going to go out of my way to be transparent. And again, not to be mean-spirited, but just to say, hey, listen, you know, I think she's a great girl. If you love her and you're happy, that's on you guys. But just, you know, when I notice you're upset or if I notice you're concerned about something or I notice you're not in a good mood, you know, is it because of her? You know, what is it? And when I, you know, hear the story or I hear the collection of facts, I'll form an opinion. You know, and one of the things that's interesting about, you know, my circle, I'll say, is that, listen, I love all my buddies immensely. You know, they're a great bunch of guys. We go out, we have a great time. We laugh, drunk. We do stupid shit. We say stupid shit. And it's funny. It's what guys do when they go out. It's just, it's funny. You know, and they're great guys. And I value that. And I value their input. And I value their counsel when they offer it, the same way that they respect my counsel when I offer it. But one of my dearest friends, I would say, not to sort of blow her up tonight here on the show, but one of my dearest friends is my attorney for my foundation, but also one of my dearest friends from grad school who I've known for over 10 years. And, you know, she's kind of closer to my age. You know, she's a woman. She's going to be, I believe, I can't wait for not knowing exactly her age. Well, maybe she wants me to tell her on the air, so I won't. But she's in her late 30s. But, you know, she's an accomplished attorney and someone who, when I have to have a serious, mature conversation with, I can have that. Of course, I have my other best friend, Pamela, who lives in Kentucky. And by the way, Pammy, I know you listen sometimes when you put all the boys to sleep. And I love my nephew. So when you do listen in, I appreciate it. So when I get to call her and talk to her, yeah, she's a great source of counsel and feedback for me. When it's possible to talk with her. You know, she's very busy. She's a full-time mom. She owns her own business. She has to take care of three boys. I mean, it's a tough life. So I love Pammy for doing everything she's doing. It's great. Now, when it comes to, you know, advice or sitting down with my friends, you know, I not to say I can't rely on my buddies, but it's hard. You know, I think it's you're talking about, you know, four or five, even six different opinions. Some might be mean-spirited, some might be overly blunt, some might be just not mean-spirited, but just being honest, as opposed to, you know, just having one person that who is a female, who understands females, obviously, because she is one, and that tends to be maybe, you know, a really positive conversation. But I can say that over the years when I've dated women, when they've expressed their concerns to me, listen, they know I'm a grown man, I'm going to make my own decisions. I know, I think deep down that if, you know, when I revisit relationships or when I date certain women that, you know, I'm going to get an earful from them, that they're probably going to chew me out. But I think deep down, because they love me, I think they'll respect what I'm doing and they'll still have my back, just like I have their back. And sure, you know, it's not going to be easy to sort of hear their criticisms and hear their vehement disapproval about any decisions that I've made over the years. I think it's probably the same thing with my parents. I think my parents go out of their way to be very loving, very nurturing. They may express their concerns openly and very defiantly, But at the end of the day, they love me, and they're going to just say, all right, well, we trust that you know what you're doing, that you know what makes you happy, and then we'll see what happens. You know, but again, I think one of the red flags today that we should sort of look at is, you know, what do we do when it comes to dealing with family or friends that have legitimate concerns about people you date? And, you know, how do you handle that? You know, because more times than not, you know, you don't want to have it turn into an argument. You don't want that. You don't want the hostility or tension. You don't want that. But at the same time, you know, you do want to, I think, be, you know, be transparent. You know, seek out help if you need it. You know, and tonight, really, when we think about all these relationship red flags, folks, I think it's important that you, you know, go out there and always put your best foot forward. You know, enjoy the time you have in your relationship as a couple, but also keep an eye out for these red flags, because over time, if you don't address them, they could, you know, really evolve into something much more serious that could be really harmful for a relationship. So I hope you keep that in mind again as you continue dating this person. And they may be wonderful, but it's important to keep an open mind and, more importantly, an open eye about what's going on with him or her. All right, folks, again, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight here. If you missed any part of the broadcast, please check out the archives by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. And again, right before we sign off tonight, folks, again, I do want to remind you, this Friday night, April the 28th, please, if you're in the area, do stop by Son Cubano, which is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place in West New York, New Jersey, for the 2017 edition of Fernandia Uribe is Saving Babies. And it's a great charity event that I host every April to benefit the March of Dimes. For those of you that are not aware, folks, again, the March of Dimes has been working exceptionally hard for over 75 years to help millions of women and their families all throughout the United States to cope with the difficulties of premature pregnancies, and more importantly, to raise awareness about the importance of healthy babies. One out of every 10 babies is born premature in the United States, and while that number has dropped significantly, there's still much more work to be done. But the March of Dimes does a great job in helping millions of women and families all throughout this great country of ours. So I'm proud to volunteer for them. This Sunday, I'll be doing the March for Babies walk at Liberty State Park in Jersey City, overlooking the beautiful skyline of New York City. But before that, on Friday night, this Friday night, April the 28th, I'll be at Son Cubano, 40-4 Riverwalk Place from in Western New Jersey, just minutes outside the Lincoln Tunnel and minutes away from the George Washington Bridge, easily accessible via New Jersey Transit, New York Waterways, the ferry system, the light rail system that's nearby. Also, it's very accessible if you obtain an Uber or a Lyft. There's no cover at the door. Plenty of free parking should you choose to drive there. $7 drink specials. We have wonderful prizes being raffled off. Excellent flamenco music to start off the evening, and an awesome DJ to close out the evening as well. And of course, the evening's main event is my annual date auction, ladies and gentlemen. So all proceeds do benefit the March of Dimes. For those of you that are Facebook subscribers, please just do a search. Fernandia Uribe is Saving Babies 2017. You'll find out more information about the venue, about the event itself this Friday night from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. So I hope to see you there this Friday night. Please bring friends. Again, all proceeds benefit the March of Dimes. So let's give every baby a fighting chance, folks. And we can do so this Friday night at my event, Son Cubano, for Fernandia Uribe is Saving Babies. For more information about the event, kindly go to my website, www.marchforbabies.org/F-Uribe. That's F-U-R-I-B as in boy, E. And again, folks, let's save babies this Friday night. All right, folks, again, I want to thank our sponsor here on the podcast, again, the Mason Civic League, a wonderful local nonprofit located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. You can call them directly at 201-706-8088. You can visit their office again Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Check out their website, folks, www.masoncivic.org. Now, again, for those of you that are not aware, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken councilwoman, the distinguished Beth Mason, and her husband, Ricky. Now, the Mason Civic League assists community members and groups in need by sponsoring programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and, of course, activities for residents of all ages. So, again, make sure you like them on Facebook. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter. And, of course, as I said, folks, they're a great local nonprofit. If you're looking to donate, any disposable income or you're looking to donate some time and volunteer right now, again, as the weather's getting warmer, they have plenty of great activities. Check out their website so you can get involved with the Mason Civic League. I also want to thank folks here on the program, CrimeKicks.com, a great local media site. Check it out, K as in knife, RomCakes.com. Again, CrimeKicks.com, full of entertaining blogs, connecting media with humanity. Of course, it sprinkles some comedy along the way, courtesy of my dear friend, Miss Ashley Crumcakes. Also, folks, I want to give a shout-out here to Rough Rehab, a great local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. They're open to the public daily from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. You can call them directly, 862-200-1447. Great website. Again, check them out, www.roughrehab.org. That's RUFFREHAB.org. Again, I want to thank Rough Rehab and Crumcakes for being staunch supporters of the show. And, of course, I want to thank the Mason Civic League for sponsoring the best 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice you'll find anywhere online, folks. It's always here every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. Good night, Cleveland, Ohio, the home of the reigning, defending NBA champions, my Cleveland Cavaliers, moving on to the second round of the NBA playoffs as they continue to defend the land here in the 2017 NBA playoffs. Have a good one, folks. Again, I hope to see you this Friday night at Sun Cubano for Fernandy Rive Saving Babies. All proceeds benefit the March of Dimes. Again, check it out, www.marchforbabies.org/FURIBE. And I'll see you next week, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for Dating Today with Fernandy Uribe. And as always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic I'm running away.